let's talk and let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you, so let's go kick some art, art, art.
Kia ora, and welcome to Kick Arts, proudly brought to you this August by the Dolphin Theatre. Kick Arts is Aotearoa's comprehensive art show brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcasts, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz or find us on Spotify. On the show tonight, we are talking pirates, theatre, roadkill and musicals. But to kick it off, here is Elena with their latest track, But It's Lonely.
You used to lean into me like I'm a work of art. Wanted to understand all of my parts. Now the back of your chair is resting up against the wall. Your eyes are a hemisphere that I can't quite recall. Did you follow the path and take off my mask and realize there's just too much to me? Oh, I get it, I'm sorry. But it's lonely. You say you don't think the way that I do. Then my feelings are an ocean and yours are a pool. But to be honest, I don't believe that to be true. Maybe you don't see yourself the way that I do. Cause what if you're an island that I wanna be on? But maybe I'll only ever be yours. Tides that overwhelm me, where I wonder if it's just where I will always be. But I dream of blue skies as far as the eye can see, where I'm so in love, where I'm so in love.
Well, that was a beautiful song, very calm and very, very relaxing. So hopefully, though, it didn't put you to sleep as we were just starting the show. But welcome to Kick Arts this evening. I'm here in the studio still with No Stephen. He is currently travelling back from Tauranga after a busy day of rehearsals. And I have to say, I've had a hugely busy weekend too. I flew down to Wellington and caught Capital Theatre Trust's season of Mamma Mia, and of course, what a cool musical, and everyone in the audience boogies along and has a great time, and it's an exceptional production, on for another week. So if you're down Welly Ways, make sure you check that out at the St James. And then I drove up to Palmerston North and caught Act 3 Productions' show Come From Away. Now, if you're aware of this musical, it is a beautiful musical. It is based on the happenings of 9/11 and what happened at Gander, which is in Newfoundland, in, just on the border of Canada and America. And the fact that they had basically 7,000 people arrive on their doorstep for an unknown amount of time. And beautiful music, I cried a lot, brought back a lot of memories of that time. But yeah, so again, if you're in Palmerston North or you want a small drive, go and check out Come From Away. Now, joining me in the studio, longtime friend, longtime listener, first time in this studio though. So welcome to the show, Captain Festix McBoyle.
Hello, it's great to be back. I'm thoroughly enjoying your new studio. I just discovered your chocolate biscuits, so most of those are gone. But I have to say, they were nice. And I've had a nice cup of coffee, so I'm bouncing off the walls. Things are good. I'm loving it. I'm having a blast of a time.
Fantastic. Well, what have you been up to?
Well, ducking and diving, wheeling and dealing, as per, released a new album, album number 5, actually. It's called Captain Festus McBoyle, The Pros and Cons. 15 tracks of goodness, multi-genre, very diverse. And, yeah, I'm very proud of it.
We've got a few of the numbers to play during your interview tonight.
Sounds great.
Should we hit one of them to start off with?
We should. We should definitely share them.
Should we boil them up?
Well, you could do. This one's slightly controversial, but yeah, I think you'll like it.
Here we go.
Little song about the cannibals. They like to nibble on your bones, you know. Miss Lucy, would you like to nibble on my bones?
Should I say no?
Yeah, probably. We've got a song to sing. Here we go.
They're called the cannibals, those human-eating cannibals. They cook you up, then eat you to the bones. Cabbages, the cabbages, they'll cook you with the cabbages. At least you don't get bored up all alone. They'll be dancing round those cooking pots with spears up in the air. Funny looking cannibals all dancing everywhere. Boil them up, boil them up, boil them up for tea. Boil them with those cabbages and save a bit for me. Right, yum. Now that was the easy part. At this point in time, I will sing a line and you lot will copy that line directly after me. Are we clear?
Crystal!
Yum. This is Crystal.
This is clear.
Yeah, good point. Moving on. Here we go. Focus. Hold on. Yum. Here we go. Take a breath. Booga 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 booga. That's pretty good. All right, let's try another one. Here it comes. Take your time. Oh, booga 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 booga. That's pretty good as well. Here we go. Let's try another one. Here it comes. Take a breath. Oh, bugger 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 bugger. Hang on, hang on, hang on. Took your horns and I'm the boss. Back in the cage and you, easy tiger. Now hang on, you're a leopard. You'll never change your spots though, will you?
Yeah.
Here we go, focus. Here it comes. Oh, booga 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 booga. Big bugger, little bugger, user bugger, weezer bugger.
Big bugger,
look at that, I'm a little years, I'm messing with your mind. A one, a two, a one thing. Cook the cannibals, those human-eating cannibals. They cook you up and eat you to the bone. Cabbages, the cabbages, they'll cook you with the cabbages. Unless you don't get pulled up all alone. Cause you'll be dancing round those cooking pots with spears up in the air. Funny-looking cannibals, all dancing everywhere. Boil them up, boil them up, boil them up for tea. Boil them with those cabbages and save a bit for me. Cause they'll be nibbling on your fingers, gnawing on your toes, sucking out your eyeballs and biting off your nose. Boil them up, boil them up, boil them up for tea. Boil them with those cabbages and save a bit for me. Cause they're the cannibals, those human eating cannibals. At least you don't get blown up all alone. Because ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, there's nothing worse in the entire world than being lonely. Food for thought. It's getting hot in here. I think we need some cold water.
Maybe we could ask for a bath bomb.
That's a great idea.
Nothing like a bit of a bubble bath.
Always good to have a good boil up. That's what they say.
Yeah. So, I mean, for our listeners that maybe haven't heard from you before, tell us a little bit about Captain Festus and what you do.
Well, we're a vaudeville musical comedy group. We target families and kids and families. That's what we do. It's a live show, predominantly. We travel all over New Zealand doing theatres and festivals. Everything from school events, kindy events, played with complete full orchestras. There's not much we haven't done, really. Live acts is where we kind of started, but the albums have kind of been, they've kept coming.
Mm.
There's five now. I'm looking at probably starting another one very soon, get one out the way and start the next. So that's pretty much what we're all about. We're a vaudeville musical comedy, pirates, very interesting oddball characters, and we're a lot of fun. We like to nudge boundaries. We like to put smiles on faces. We're definitely more grit, less sugar.
Yeah, I was going to say, like a song like that is probably isn't one that you take into a school. Mind you, you're talking about boogers. You know,
totally. I mean, I did a lot of homework on that one. I mean, it was a challenge. I was actually challenged to write a song, a Halloween song that didn't include vampires and all the usual ghosts and ghouls and guts. So I thought cannibals is kind of funny, and there's a bit of a backstory with it. In the end, we kind of turned them into being vegetarians. I gave them a lovely vegetable pie recipe, and they got it off the meat for life now. So the power of a good pie recipe. There you go.
Yeah.
There's no ill intent with a song, and I'll stand by it. I'm true to myself.
Yeah.
And it's one of my favourite songs.
Well, I think as someone that has seen you perform numerous times at family festivals, at in your show that you did in Glen Eden, you know, you, like you've said, you're a travelling kind of vaudeville style act. And so there is kind of the adult undertones or overtones.
Well, it's a panto musical,
yeah,
isn't it? It's what you expect.
And it is. It's a lot of fun. And I mean, I just love the costumes as well.
Thank you. That's all down to Larissa Loughley. She's an amazing costume designer.
Hmm.
We have a lot of fun with it, and we do like to nudge boundaries. I mean, it is what it is. Not everyone's going to like you, but we do what we do, and we like what we do, and we seem to be well appreciated mostly.
Hmm.
So, ain't going to change, you know?
So tell us, what made you decide to go into this style? Like, as a performer, what do you think took you down, like, this burlesque, vaudeville-y kind of feel?
Well, I started off in the rock music industry. I was always in original bands, so that was how I started. And I just got a bit bored of that. I'd always thought about theatre. I never quite had the confidence to do it. And then when my band, after 9 years, kind of came to an end, I kind of couldn't be bothered rehashing it anymore, and I just thought, well, I'll give this pirate thing a go. And it's been the best thing I ever did. It's been so much fun. I've travelled all over New Zealand. I'm flown in and flown out, paid well, and have a real laugh doing it. It's the most freeing thing I've ever done. And, I wouldn't change it for the world now. It's hilarious.
What do you think characterises a pirate?
Well, this pirate stays clear of all the cliches. The only hooks are in the songs. The only sharp thing I've got is me wit. Power of the word, you know, not the sword.
Yeah.
So we're pacifist pirates. So we stay clear of all the R's and all that sort of stuff. Can't stand it. It's not what we're about. We like to just be ourselves and break down the cliches.
Yeah.
I mean, who wants to lose a leg? Who wants to have to wear an eye patch? You know, I quite like my eyes and I quite like my legs. I ain't losing them for anyone.
And, you don't have a hook either?
No, only in the songs.
Yeah. So who or how do you go about your songs? Like, because you've got quite a variety of things that you sing about. Like, where did the inspo come from?
Where does it come from? I have no idea. I just hope that it keeps coming. I seem to get a lot of ideas in the shower.
It's funny. Someone said that last week. I know who it was. It was Decadence last week. Maxwell said that his inspiration for his comedy comes in the shower.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, I don't want to know what comes in the shower.
The shower and the power of the iPhone recorder.
Mm.
Amazing. Not that you can record with your iPhone in the shower, but, well, you could if you had a waterproof case. But I don't do that. But no, I think, and also sometimes just the fear of fear of blocks. So I just forced myself to write something. Like every day I was worrying about, I hadn't written anything for a while, and I just thought, okay, well, I'll write about writer's block. And I wrote a little poem. It's brilliant. Mm. You know, I don't know where it comes from, but I just hope it keeps coming. And I don't write to please anybody else. I mean, I just write what I write, and it's from the heart, and if people love it, then great. You know, but I don't try to fit a formula.
And
I'm not like that.
Your songs, as you said, like you're family orientated, and a lot of your songs are for kids.
Yeah.
And you've got children yourself. So has that helped you, do you think, knowing what kids are like? And
well, I think it's great running ideas past children, because you get a first-hand experience of what kids are probably going to think about it.
And but honest yeah, feedback. Honest. Yeah,
completely honest. And so that's kind of fun. I just write songs, and I just like to record them. I like to give it 100%, have a lot of fun with it, and when it comes out, I'm pleased with it, and hopefully everybody else is too. It's just something I feel compelled to do.
Mm.
I like writing, I like recording, although recording can be quite a frustrating process.
Do you record at home, or do you
No, I go to a place called Show Pony Studios in Onehunga, myself and a chap called Amos Clark, who actually works at the Unitech. Him and I do it together in the studio, and we have a lot of fun. We've learned to work together really, really well. He comes from more of a polished pop background. I like to degrade it and make it sound very old BBC radio, crackly, hissy. So we kind of have to find that common ground and a happy balance, which we've done. And we've worked on three albums now. So we've done three albums together.
And how many of the instruments we hear in the tracks do you play?
I play some of the banjolele, some of the ukulele, the voice. But I've got some great people that work alongside me. I've got Gareth Price, who plays guitars, Sam Loveridge, who plays violins, Peter Toomey, who plays a lot of slide and cigar box and guitars as well. Amos Clark also steps in, bass and stuff, and backing vocals. We've got we've created this choir called the Ilford Working Men's Club Choir, and it's like a pub sing-along. And it's me and Amos doing about 12 voices, you know, all doubling it together.
Yeah.
And it sounds like this mad, drunken choir. So they're the Ilford Working Men's Club Choir. They come in quite frequently to assist the captain for backing vocals.
You said that he played the cigar slide?
Yeah, cigar box.
What is that?
It's just like a three-string cigar box with a neck on it and three strings, and you use a slide.
Oh.
You use a slide. It's very bluesy.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Yeah, in fact, that's on one of the songs we're going to play later, I think, Baby Rap.
I've got the mouse hanging over Baby Rap at the moment, because I was going to say, there you go. It's not, you don't just sing, you rap as well.
That is a cigar box guitar.
Should we have a listen?
I think you should.
Here we go.
A full dirty nappy, wee rolling down to me feet. Looking real cool with me fake power tool, and I'm shaking me bum to the beat. Where I should be napping, just feels like rapping, riding low with my bros in the pram. I said, what's up, Teddy? Me dummy's nearly ready, getting rinsed with my garden hose, man. Make some noise. Girls and boys, grab your toys. Getting kind of funky when me little cheeky monkey got food all over me bib. Low down and dirty, me parents only 30 and I'm hanging tough in my crib. Bubba needs some drinking, that's what I'm thinking till me eyes roll back in me head. Gonna be a pest till I finds me that breast. Young mama, let me sleep in your bed. Grab your toys. Make some noise. Baby gets moody when trying to find the booby. Yo, strung out for some drinking. Fighting my feet, but still rapping to the beat, and that's still pretty dope, I'm thinking. Now it's true, when I'm asleep, I might not make a peep, but there might be a poop, there's a chance. There's too much sub going on in this song. Baby, I just wanted to dance. Oh, do you hear that noise? Check out those slip moves. I'm a pest till I finds the breast. A bit of a twit till I finds the,
Do you know what it made me think of?
What's that?
So, I don't know if you are on TikTok or anything like that, but there's this whole AI thing at the moment where they get babies, like, with adult voices saying things and doing cute little things. And I could really imagine one of those AI babies kind of, like, dressed as a pirate, bopping along to that.
Well, I have to say, there's definitely no AI in the stuff I do. I have very mixed feelings about that.
This is AI. This is just the image, though. And you know, you get these little babies who are gorgeously cute, saying very adult things.
My mother-in-law sends me these little aliens that have got all these weird voices, sort of thing, but with aliens. It's quite funny.
But that was really super cute, and I definitely, you know, and again, I think it's something that we can all relate to. I mean, you're talking what babies do. They eat, sleep, and poop.
Pretty much. But the cool thing was I actually collaborated with a chap from America called Secret Agent 23 Skidoo. He's an American rapper, and I got to know him sort of through various conversations we'd had. And I asked him to do some MC Bling and some beatbox, which he did. And it worked really well. I'd never done a rap song before. And yeah, the only rap song I'd ever had any experience with was Wham Rap back in the 80s with Wham. So I thought, yeah, this album's all about multi-genre. So I'm going to do a rap song.
Yes. So how long did it take for this album to come together?
It was put together over a period of 2 years. So it was getting together probably once or twice a week, going into the studio 3 or 4 hours at a time. So yeah, it took quite a while, but it's good to. I feel a great sense of relief to get it out. But now I start thinking about the next one.
Yeah, I was trying to remember what you were on the last time we caught up with you. And I think it was actually, and it may have just been a phone call, because we were promoting the festival that you were doing with Susie Cato down in Gizzy Ways after the floods.
Oh, that was, that's right, because I'm part of a production company called Pinnacle Productions, Aotearoa. And we did this big fundraising thing and put on some flood relief shows down in, down the Hawke's Bay. We played the Napier Municipal Theatre and the, is it? Toy, played them, and it was free. We brought in multiple acts, local ones, and Māori components and everything. It was awesome, and everybody came for free. It was called When the Grit Hits the Fan.
That's right.
Yeah, went really well. It was really good.
Yeah,
lots of fun.
And that was 2 years ago now?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. I lose track.
Yeah.
No idea, but it was a great experience.
Yeah.
Very well received, and yeah, very humbling too. It was cool.
So, what live stuff have you got coming up?
Coming up? Well, it's a hard one. What have I got coming up? I think I've got something coming up in October, the 18th. That's at Tupuna Creative Hub. That's a free family fun day, another free family event. We've got Sir Bob Harvey is going to be the MC. He promises to wear a top hat and a pirate jacket. That'll be good to see. And there'll be us performing there as a three-piece. And I think we've got another band still confirming. And we'll also have some, I'd say, like a Māori opening and closing, and some kapa haka. So that should be quite fun. That's a collaboration between Pinnacle and Tupuna Creative Hub. And, so working towards that. That's October the 18th. That's a Saturday. So, I'll keep you posted on that.
Yeah, do.
I'll see everything's locked in.
Yeah, well, we can stick it up on our Kick Arts event page as well.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah. So, I'm just trying to think what else we can talk about, Captain.
Well, you got to hear the cigar box, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. And it did make me think of, I wouldn't have thought it was a cigar box, though. It kind of reminded me of almost, you know, the Asian instruments that kind of they...
Yeah, a little bit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was played by a chap called Peter Toomey, who's a very interesting chap. He goes back to the 80s hair metal days. He was travelling, touring around the country in vans with bands like Saxon and Iron Maiden back in the day. He was in a heavy metal band called Bitches Sin. There you go.
Okay.
Out there.
Mm.
But, they were doing really well. They just had they had a big resurgence in Japan recently. So he was saying he was a bit worried because he was a 55 or nearly 60-year-old man having to wear spandex.
Oh.
So he was on a diet. He's trying to get thin before he left for Japan.
Crazy. So tell me, what do you think is the biggest challenge as an artist these days? Like producing music and everything, what's the biggest challenge for you?
Money.
Mm.
I mean, like, we've been really lucky. We've been so lucky. In fact, the last three albums have been produced with the help of New Zealand On Air, which we're totally grateful for. I mean, it's the only way we could do this. I mean, before then, the other two albums were produced on a shoestring. And the joys of having a little bit of money, it's still tight, but, I mean, it's amazing what you can do with 10 grand. You can put together an album if you're clever.
Mm.
And that's what we've done each time, and we still manage to market it and do everything else with it. So definitely money's the challenge. I mean, if you want good product, I don't record myself. I go in and work with someone that helps me do it.
Mm.
So, I mean, in some ways it'd be great if I could do it at home in my bedroom, but it wouldn't be as much fun. And I like to do it on the fly in the studio and, lay everything down live and then overdubs over the top, because I have to think about, will it translate to the live show.
Yeah.
Not all of them don't. And that's a fine line if you overproduce. I can't do that as a three-piece on stage.
Mm.
So I've had to be quite careful about how I tackle songs.
And what an acoustic, I'm going to call it acoustic, but yeah, what is the live sound?
Yeah, well, it's just guitar and ukulele with a bit of percussion and three voices. That's the extent of it. So there's certain things we can't do on stage. Some of the album won't translate to the live show, but that's the joys of being in a studio. And it's become so much fun just creating such mad pieces now. It's great. So,
And it must be the same, like you've said, that you go around the country. I mean, you go to festivals and things like that, but that all costs money as well. And a lot of festivals are losing funding as well, aren't they?
Oh, completely. I mean, like, we decided that we would work less and work smarter. So, like, for us, we're guns for hire. So if you want us down the country, you fly us in, you fly us out. You accommodate us. We fly in the day before. We perform. We stay the night of the gig, and then we fly out after. The morning after. So we kind of had to make that decision, because otherwise you end up losing money. And for us, it's a full-time thing, it's a business, and we have to survive. So we consequently, we don't do a lot of the smaller stuff anymore, unless it's local. It's hard, because if I had my way, I'd be playing every week.
Yeah.
But logistically and feasibly, I just can't make it work. So yeah, so we work smarter, work less, but yeah, it's mainly bigger festivals and theatres, and we're usually flown in or flown out, or driven in a van, standard mileage costs, as you do, you know.
Yeah.
You just get quite savvy as to what you can kind of ask for, per diems.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't, which makes it harder for the people who do.
Yeah.
And I think it's just that lack of knowledge. A lot of people kind of put in cheap prices. They don't include things like travel money or petrol money or per diems. Some of them.
Well, I suppose a lot of people see, like,
they don't ask.
A gig like that, though, for a lot of people might be like their springboard. They're new and they don't actually, you know, you kind of, a lot of people probably see it as an opportunity to be seen.
Yeah, you can do that. But I think if you do it too much, then people expect it all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm too old to be travelling around in a van, sleeping on floors. You know, back in the day in the rock bands, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't care where I slept or what we got paid. It was all about just getting in a van, have a good time. But now it's kind of, you know, a bit older in life and a bit wiser, and trying to make a living out of art.
Mm.
So it's, I guess you're always going to come up against those new people that are going to do that. So that does make it tougher for the ones that are more established, because you set the what you sort of should be worth, and then you've got people like coming in behind you and trying to undercut, which does make it tricky. But then it is what it is, you know.
And it's all a learning curve for them as well.
Yeah, totally,
and like you
totally.
Said, what you would have done all those years ago, you wouldn't do now.
No.
So what's your best marketing tool? What do you do so people know that you exist?
Word of mouth is huge.
Yeah.
Social media, I hate it, but I love it. It's good. That does quite well for us. I think, the power of word. People, just the word of mouth has been huge for us. And the albums, I mean, we market it far and wide all over the place. The music goes everywhere. And we get some great reviews and stuff from overseas. So it's just chugging away, putting it out, huge database to different radio stations around the world. And we've got a really good reputation overseas as well as here. It's just slowly built. It's a slow build.
Yeah, because I remember years ago, again, going backwards, because you were doing some stuff in Asia.
Yeah, we got signed to Modern Sky in China. It was a three-year contract. COVID took it out completely.
Mm.
We were supposed to do two tours of China, but then COVID hit, totally killed it. The whole indie label went under, the kid side of it. So, yeah, that was kind of a little bit disappointing. But them's the breaks, you know. We were still healthy, and life goes on.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
You just keep chugging away, you know.
Now, tell me a little bit about Dad's poem.
Ah, Dad's poem. This was actually a poem my dad used to recite to me when I was a kid.
Oh, that's cool.
A tiny little nipper, me and my sister. And I never forgot it. Every single word I remembered, even to now, these days, you know, it's I don't know, before 50-odd years ago. And I haven't forgotten it. And I just thought, that'd be quite cool. And then I thought, well, okay, well, what genre haven't I done? And I thought, well, Scottish Highlands, bagpipes. So I thought, well, I might try and get some bagpipes in on this one. So it's a poem with bagpipes in the background. The guy that did the bagpipes wanted to remain anonymous. So, yeah, I can't say who he was, but he did a good job. And, it is what it is. It's a poem about farts.
Now, there's a rumour going around that the old captain suffers from flatulence. I just blame the dog. Here's a little poem my dad told me when I was just a nipper. There's a little puff of wind that comes from the heart. It travels down the backbone, and there it forms a fart. Farts are very useful. They give the body ease. They warm the bed in winter, and they suffocate the fleas. Wherever you may be, let your wind break free. In church or chapel, let it rattle. Is there any more of that cabbage left?
I love it. I love it. That's hilarious. Yeah. Well, it reminds me of, I keep saying years ago when you were here, you made a whole lot of little short, you were coming on the show and you made us a whole lot of little short kick art stings.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Which was very similar kind of little...
Well, I'm a product of my upbringing.
Yeah.
Grew up with British comedy. And, yeah, and farts are huge in my house.
Mm.
And hence, yeah, the poem. Never forgotten it.
So, like, British comedy, we're talking like Monty Python.
Yeah, Spike Milligan. Yeah. Yeah, Roald Dahl, some of the darker poetry. I'm quite inspired by that as well. A mixture of that, yeah.
I could hear your voice doing the likes of Bad Jelly.
Yes. I love Bad Jelly the Witch. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great story.
I mean, because I grew up in a time that Sunday mornings for us, we had our own little record player. So we weren't allowed to wake Mum up on a Sunday morning. Yeah. So we used to get up, my brother and I, and we'd go to the lounge and we had our kids' records. Yeah. So, you know, The Little Engine That Could, Bad Jelly the Witch, and a whole lot of other little, you know, and our little record player, and we'd sit there and we would listen to the stories.
Yeah, totally. Well, once it'd be radio, kids' radio in the morning, eh? That used to be, pull your sheets over your head and listen to your little transistor radio, listen to the stories. D'Artagnan and the Golden Apple.
I don't know whether that's, it's not really a thing now, I suppose, because people, so. I suppose kids, it's so easy for them to jump onto YouTube and things like that, and... Yep. Anime, you know, it's more anime and things like that. Like, the kids' stories just aren't there.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, even my own children, it was, you know, Thomas the Tank Engine, and audio books was such a, we got the books with the CD in them, and you'd put the CD on.
The Sparky and the Talking Train?
Yep.
Left front wheel.
Yeah. Just those cool kind of things that helped with your imagination and...
It's all changed.
Yeah. So where do you, I suppose you've been doing this for so many years. I was going to say, where is this going? But it's just going to keep on going?
I've got no plan B. We've had so many almost opportunities, you know, like China, Europe. It's kind of, we just keep going. We just keep chugging away. And, we've currently just signed a publishing licensing deal with Wonky Records, which is a chap called Nathan Graves, who's based half here and half in London. So we're working with him at the moment and trying to put a few plans together there. We'll just keep going. Just keep doing our live stuff. Love doing it. Got a wonderful crew, and it's a treat, really. I love doing what we do. I can't see myself doing much else. I mean, I have a couple of things I do on the side. I teach drums for kids. I do that. I just like working with kids. I like working with, passing on the knowledge I have. And I find that really satisfying. And I learn a lot from kids as well, you know. It's always learning.
So, like, as in a drum kit?
Two kits, head-to-head.
Yeah.
And one-on-one, 30-minute lessons, I do that. And, got quite a few students now. I've been doing that for a long time. It's kind of like keeps the bread and butter coming through.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I just keep doing what I do. I love it, you know.
I think our next guest is at the door and just tried to let himself in, and I can hear it beeping down there, but it shouldn't be beeping like that. I'm just messaging him, trying to not be distracted. I'm just saying, hash, not...
Well, you're doing very well.
Star, not hash. There you go. He'll get in. Anyway, so you've got one more here for us. Called A Slight Snag. What's this one about?
Well, this one is about, it's, I mean, it's the catch line is silly sausage, and I mean it's a term that every family has, I think. When you make a slight mistake or you get something quite, you know, do something a bit silly, you get called a silly sausage, and it's kind of a term of endearment.
Yeah.
And I guess the thing behind the song is about everybody makes mistakes. It's okay to make mistakes. Your nan, your granddad, your mum and dad, we all do. And I guess it's just trying to tell kids that it's okay. And the beautiful thing is, if we've got Chalky the Cat singing on this, that's Arwa Loughley. She was only 11
when
she recorded this in the studio, and she did an amazing job. She's got a great voice, and very proud of her, and it's great to have her on the album. So, slight snag.
All right, here we go. Song. Mum's a silly sausage.
Mum's a silly sausage.
Dad's silly sausage.
Dad's silly sausage.
Ned's silly sausage.
Ned's silly sausage.
Hot silly sausage.
Hot silly sausage.
Sausages. Were they vegetarian sausages?
We'll never know.
We'll never know. That must be really cool for you, though, having your 11-year-old performing with you.
Ah, she's a little star in the making. Lots of fun. Yeah, lots of fun indeed. Yeah, she's cool.
And I suppose she's been, you know, stage sight since she was born.
Yeah, she's been tagging along with Mum for quite some time. Mm. Larissa and I kind of worked together, been working together for a long time now, and I was always in the wings.
Yeah.
She may be. She's good.
Yeah, awesome.
She's coming on stage every now and again as Chalky the Cat.
Yep.
And she's, as I said, little star in the making. She's amazing.
Very cool. Right, so if people want to follow you, find out what's going on, how do they do that?
Best thing is CaptainFestus.com. It's a one-stop shop for everything. It'll give you links to YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Spotify, the whole shebang. There'll be lots of showreel videos on there. There'll be mockumentary pieces, great photo gallery, and a past event section, which will give you an idea of the sort of stuff we've done, the scope of what we do, and I guess the calibre at which we operate.
Oh, fabulous.
So it's a good start.
Yeah.
To everything from there. It's a good start, a good place to go.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you and all the support you've given to Kick Arts over the years. I mean, you've been one of our mainstay comebackers, keeps in touch with us for the five
years. I just refuse to go away.
We've been here. Yeah, it's kind of like those, must be like those bad smells of those farts.
Pretty close, I'd say. No, thank you very much. Likewise, I mean, you've been really supportive, and it's always a pleasure to come in. It's been a while since I've seen you. It's good to see you.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go out with, we actually played this a few weeks ago when you first released it, but this is Mr. Cheese, If You Please.
Indeed, it's about identification, transition and acceptance. Our guitarist was, one of our guitarists came in as Henry Hubbard, who lived in the cupboard. He left for a couple of years and he came back and he transformed into a human rat called Mr. Cheese.
Mm.
So that's the backstory on that one.
Very cool. Well, here we go. And thank you. And we look forward to hearing more from you and maybe about that gig on the 18th of October.
I'll keep you posted. Thanks very much.
No worries.
Little Summer Bear, Mr. Cheese. I tell you what, if he touches my cheese, I'll cut his bleeding tail off.
He's a rat, he's a rat, he's a big dirty rat. He's a man. And he goes through the bins to fill his pillow with poo when he can. He's got teeth, two front teeth, those two teeth. They can chew through a tree. But he's our friend, he's our friend, he's our friend to both me and Lucy. And again, keep it going. He's a rat, he's a rat, he's a big dirty rat, he's a man. And he goes through the bins to fill his book with food when he can. Oh, he's got teeth, two front teeth, those two teeth I could chew through a tree. Oh, but he's our friend, he's our friend, he's our friend to both me and Lucy. Oh, he's a rat, he's a rat, he's a big tea rat, he's a man. And he goes through the bins to fill his pocket with food when he can. He's got teeth, two front teeth, those two teeth, like a chew through a tree. Oh, buddy, he's our friend, he's a friend, he's our friend, to both me and Lucy. We dog him. He's a rat, he's a rat, he's a big dirty rat. Yeah, he's a man.
But he identifies as a rat, and who are we to judge? I mean, come on, move on, geezer. Next song.
Wow, I love Captain Festus. We love him so much. His songs are so much fun. Now, while that two-minute song was going on, I threw him out. I threw him overboard, out of the ship, and I replaced him with two more guests who are about to perform in the basement space in some form or another.
That's
but we're
right.
going to unpack that later.
Yes.
So first up, we've got Tom Knowles all the way from, well, you kind of...
Where am I from?
Well, where are you from? Are you Blen... Are you
I'm
Marlboro?
Originally
are
from
you?
Blenheim.
Yeah.
But I do live in Titirangi now, but no one would know that because I'm always on the road having to having to make a life out of this crazy arts industry that we have.
Yeah.
Yeah, travelling band.
And, I mean, I did say in the intro that we were talking about roadkill. So we've talked pirates, and now we're talking roadkill.
Yeah, yeah, there's some similarities.
Yeah, no, not really. But roadkill, the uber cool like musical.
Pirates of the Road. That's right.
Or do I call you James Corden?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, no, we're much better than carpool karaoke, if I'm allowed to say.
Ooh.
Although I do love carpool karaoke, and we did bass a lot. I say we because I feel like I'm a huge team, but it's actually just me.
Yeah, I love on your basement post. Produced by Tom Knowles. Performed by Tom Knowles.
It looks
by
a little
Tom
bit
Knowles.
Arrogant,
and it's like
I know,
four Tom Knowles in a row.
They asked for the roles, like who's doing what? And it's like, well, this is just a total solo project from start to finish. And so, yeah, we did base it. I did base it a little bit on James Corden's carpool karaoke because, I mean, those videos are massive and it was it's just so much fun.
Very cool. Now, joining you in the studio, we have Ella. Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Now, I'm going to let you pronounce the name of the show so I don't get it wrong.
Kia ora. My name's Ella Dedekora and I am debuting E Ngaro Anakwe, means are you lost in Te Reo Māori?
And are you lost?
Always.
Always?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meant to be.
Now, your poster, though, has numerous people's faces around the outside. So does that mean it's not a one-woman show?
It is not a one-woman show.
You've got quite a few people.
Yeah. So we've got seven cast members in total. Two of them are living... Actually, three of them are living in Australia, but one of them has flown down to be in the live performance. Two of them are going to be... in the part of the AV projected, so they'll be a part of the installations, and then five including me who are performing live at Basement Theatre.
And what I love with both of your shows is you're kind of definitely multidisciplinary.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
definitely. Yep.
Multimedia. I was just hearing a few things about it. Ella's, and it sounds incredible. It's the future of the arts, isn't it? It's,
hell yeah.
How do we roll everything into, and we're in an era of people swiping on their phones, getting 30-second videos, and how do we keep people's attention spans, and how do we make it interesting for ourselves as performers too? So I'm in the same boat putting, I've got AV and things in the van. Cool. So
I was just going to say, the fact that you're putting a van outside the basement, yeah, I love that you're saying, I'm performing at the basement. On the slab.
Yeah, that's right. Over the concrete slab. I'm making the most of it. Oh, look, post-COVID, and I know we all hate talking about COVID, but...
But we have to. It made a change.
And the show came out of that as well, because before that, I was touring a lot with various shows, musical theatre as well. A lot was going on then. And I wanted to create something out of COVID that was something that I could... be at the helm of, be in charge of. It's my own venue. I can rock up to a concrete slab and perform a full epic arena spectacular musical inside of a van. So, I mean, that was always the dream, and I can do that now, wherever, anywhere.
I love that.
Yeah.
I so love that. That is hilarious. Yeah, because, I mean, I went to a show a couple of weeks ago at the basement, which was... Man's World, Adam's show, and it was a documentary, so he had the video going all amongst it, and it was so cool to see just that integration of things, which obviously is what you're going through at the moment.
Definitely.
Has it been a big challenge having all the things integrated together?
It is currently. We've just started packing into the theatre today, and yeah, it's a lot of trying to navigate how it all works. It's like quite a lot of technical pressure for everyone. Especially working projection. I didn't realize projection would be so difficult.
Yeah. But you've got someone helping you? Because you're doing, like, this is your show. You've written the show. You're the producer as well.
Yeah, I'm co-producing with Renee Wiki. I'm performing in it. I did majority of, like I designed the poster and all of that kind of stuff, and lots of other things. We're also having an exhibition, like small exhibition in the foyer as well. It's a lot. It's a very and also working, like a lot of the film installation stuff is like working with archival process, which I really love. So I've kind of been archiving the whole from the beginning to now through rehearsals. Through all of the little bits, even setting up today, I had my little video camera going, "Ew, look at everyone setting up." Yeah, it's super cool.
So how many shows before this have you produced and been...
This is my first one.
So this is your first one. So huge learning curve.
Totally. It has been massive. I was like, yeah, I can do it. And I can. I am doing it. But it was worth me quitting my job last year.
So what do you think's been your biggest learning? If you had to kind of come down to one thing, maybe for someone that was going to jump into an experience next year, what would that one big piece of learning be that you didn't know or you wish you had known?
I don't know if the things that I maybe didn't know, but I think the biggest thing is communication and having a team that you really trust, and which I love my team, but there are definitely times, because we're all human, that communication can get a bit sloppy sometimes, and that's when things get very, very stressful. So it's like having a really, I think, just like clear boundaries and also really clear intentions when you get into it, of how everyone communicates and like crosses over, especially because I'm doing so many roles. I'm in so many different group chats, like design team, we have a tour kind of team, we have the dancers and like any other people that we need to get in contact with. And I think, you know what, actually, the biggest learning curve, don't do so many roles.
Well, you're in the same situation, Tom. Like you've said, you do everything. So yeah, do you just
have
to
a group chat with yourself?
Yeah, I was just going to say, do you just communicate with yourself? Like, is it lots
like,
of
how
mind?
Do you manage that?
Well, first of all, I've done it a couple of times. So I've toured a couple of different shows of my own. This is the first one I've done completely solo. But I suppose every time you do it, I mean, this is your first time, which I know that first time feeling, but you're actually creating yourself a Bible, so to speak, of how to do it easier, smarter,
yeah.
better every
totally.
Time. And so I sort of got to the point with this one where I wanted to have a crack at doing every single role. It's a lot of work before the show went on. I mean, I've already done this show earlier this year at the New Zealand Fringe Festival in Dunedin, Nelson and Blenheim. So I'm finally bringing it home to Auckland. But so for me, a lot of work went in before the show went up because, like you say, the AV stuff's, you know, hardcore to try and match all that up. I've got three TV screens in the van, the lighting. I'm doing it on a smaller scale, obviously. Mine is a 10-seater Toyota Hiace, so there's only so much space and lighting and things that can happen. So it's a smaller scale, but I suppose
But that can be harder because you've got to refine it right down.
Yeah, you do. But yeah, I suppose I just did it. It was a weird idea I had in my head. The show I wrote it, and then I just started making it. And then you move on to the next role, which is I suppose marketing and producing it. And then finally you done enough producing to then perform it and rehearse it. You know, it sort of goes in stages. And I'm now at the stage where I can just reap the benefits of performing it and having so much fun, which is why I created it in the first place, you know. I'm a performer first, entertainer first. And so, yeah, I don't know. I'm not enjoying not having a team, and I think my partner also hates the fact that she is my constant sounding board in this whole process. But I feed off the energy that enters the van, I suppose.
And it must
audience.
Be, every show must be different depending on who those nine people are.
That's right, and the show's written that way. So although the show is a full musical inside of this van, it changes every show for the people that are in there. There's a little bit of improv, I suppose it's a little bit of stand-up as well in there. So yeah, it's always different. And especially when you go to a town where you know no one. So like when I performed in Nelson in Dunedin, it was crack up. I was on the side of the road, paid for parking, doing a full musical with
paid
full sounds.
Paid for parking.
I had to pay for the parking. And it's just wild. And that's the sort of energy and entertainment factor that I'm trying to bring. I'm not trying to change the world or anything. I'm doing something wacky and weird in a van.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
You can't hear it because you haven't got headphones on, but I'm playing the Roadkill theme right now we're talking, you know. I've got kind of like this vibe of James Bond.
This is supposed to be the James Bond theme music sort of vibe. Every song has a sort of different genre in a way, but it's definitely, like, you know, if you're a fan of Meatloaf, like it's definitely Meatloaf-esque. There's some really heartfelt ballads for the musical theatre people. I also play all the characters in the show. So I play my own wife at home calling me on the Uber rides and stuff. And I sing as her. And so there's like big duets. There's weird 80s, 70s songs. There's remixes of some Rihanna in there. Like, it's, I tried to tick all the boxes and do something really strange and odd and weird and fun.
That is so cool. So, have you got music in your show, Ella?
Yes, I have our lovely friend Connor, who's doing our sound design for the work, and it's been so exciting working with him. It's been very collaborative of kind of going, this is the energy of this thing and this is the energy, and like really, and also working alongside the dancers to really meet, I guess, their needs. And like, and because a lot of us come from very strong street dance backgrounds, music is so important for us. So really kind of finding a I've been saying a lot, a happy medium lately, yep. of kind of meeting the needs of everyone within the sound, but also it's really cool because this is Connor's also first kind of debut sound design work, also for like a dance show. He's never worked with dancers before, so I think it's been a really like cool experience for the both of us, and I know he's... Yeah, every time he comes to the room, he's just so excited to be like, oh my gosh, yeah, and you guys hit that bit, and da, 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 like, yeah, it's really exciting.
Very cool. So where did the inspo come from for this piece?
Oh, that's a hard one. So I actually started Ingaroana Queer as a solo work that was actually meant to be at Basement last year, but I got really unwell, and... Yeah, I had to pull out, unfortunately. Because it was solo, it was just me, and I was also singing as well, and I was just like, I can't even speak right now. That's kind of where it came from. It originated from an exhibition I actually did, which I kind of developed the idea, and I really relate to the Taniwha coming from Whanganui, which is where I whakapapa to, called Tūtai Porupuru, and he's a Taniwha that's very vengeful and, really interesting pūrākau that I really resonated with. And I was going through some things at the time, and I was like, how do I deal with these, like, this grief and also, like, so many other things as Māori, as wahine, and being like, how do I deal with this? And I really related to Tūtai Porupuru. He would consume people, and, like, he would go down the awa and, yeah, literally, like, eat people, like, by the canoe kind of in full engulfing. And I thought that was, like, such a... I don't know, so interesting. And I was like, how do I embody this Taniwha? I want to engulf. And also, how do I spit out? And how do I embody this Taniwha? And how do I maybe manifest myself to become another version of Tūtai Porupuru? How do I ease Tūtai Porupuru to make him less vengeful? How do I make myself deal with grief and soften? And that has then now evolved to this year, whereas I've always wanted to do a show since I graduated uni, and it felt, Ingaroana Queer Tūtai Porupuru called me again, and I was like, I think it's not a solo anymore. I think I need to call in my people, build my relationships, and that actually this work is for everyone, and we're not meant to be so within these realms. I don't think we should be alone, because it can get really heavy. And so it's kind of now become more about the reclamation journey for tangata Māori and all of the people that I connect with. I guess from my generation, there's a lot of people who feel very lost and don't know how to get back into or how to go on that whakapapa journey and learn about family, or maybe people don't necessarily have family that they can rely on to go to those and find those things, you know. And it's really been based on my journey and going, how can I share that with my friends, and how do I help support them to go and do that for themselves? Mm. And I really want this work, this kaupapa, to be that the audience come and it's always tricky because it's a dance work, and some people go, what? What? I don't understand.
Dance doesn't tell stories, does it? I think dance is just dancing.
Yeah, but I really hope that out of everything, people can go home after and go, yeah, how do I deal with my Taniwha? What is this like? Mm. And personifying it more and going, what is it that I'm sitting with that needs to be dealt with? And
yeah.
Do I have to be alone in this? Who can I reach out to? I think the other big thing within cast for this process is like really going, shit, I need to actually reach out to some people I've never, like, haven't spoken to in a long time. And it kind of, that's a whole other mamai hurt of connecting to whānau that maybe you've disconnected from and having to start that process again. And even if people will even let you in. Yeah, it's been a beautiful, intense, very, deep journey, really.
Yeah,
yeah. And that's what is, you know, even though we're in the midst of getting prepped for show, but I have to keep coming back to that and reminding myself that that is my purpose for this. It's like, yes, we can make a show, but I'm like, but what else, you know?
Yeah.
I think as artists as well, we need to really, let me rephrase that. I feel like as an artist for myself, I feel very called to speak from where my journey is. And I think if we are honest within ourselves and can learn to be okay with being vulnerable, and within that we also have to learn how to protect ourselves,
yeah,
which I'm still
very much
learning, getting there. Yeah, it's important that we share these stories because there are so many people that resonate. And I was there once and now I'm like, huh, wow, now I have a pool of people around
me. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. So and I suppose too, that whole protecting yourself thing, that's why I suppose companies like Tuatara Collective, you know, Jason has his process around them where they always have a counsellor or a person in the space during the shows as well.
Mm.
And they always introduce at the start, say, this person is here and should you be triggered or feel something or you need to talk afterwards, please talk to us, you know, because you are dealing with deep issues. And there are a lot of us in Aotearoa who have either been brought up by our Pākehā side and we don't know how to, like you said, how do you whakapapa back? And if you don't have a relationship with that side, how do you open those doors? It's huge.
Yeah. And I think, like, I really came to that at the beginning of last year, being like, oh, like, for me, I'm like, how do I do it? I'm like, it's actually through my artistic practice. So I guess in another way, I am also encouraging Māori artists to be like, it can be through your art practice. It
definitely
can be your dance practice of, like, dealing with your thing. Like, use it because it's there for a reason,
definitely.
I reckon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. So thinking about, like, you've created a New Zealand musical.
Yes.
And it was interesting. I was in a conversation at the New Zealand Singing Teachers Conference a few weeks ago about what is New Zealand musical.
Yeah.
So what do you think makes, you know, like the only, when I think of New Zealand musical, the only thing that really jumps out at me is Luke Tsoma.
Yep.
And, That Bloody Woman and The Unruly Tourist and, you know, but is that really New Zealand musical? It's New Zealand themed because the story is based in New Zealand, but it's based on American music structure.
Yeah.
Now, you've been down the chill, because, I mean, you're a children's entertainer.
I am.
Your album 2 years ago, you know, was very Māori based and musical and children.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I suppose on the surface, New Zealand musical is a musical from someone from New Zealand. I wanted to dig deeper on that a few years ago. My first show that I wrote was an 80s rock opera that toured through America, which was Allergic to Love, The Curse of the 80s. That was about a New Zealand man who broke into a song at the thought of love. So it was breaking down these sort of toxic masculinity things that we have, and also citing that with 80s glam rock music. So that was something I was working with then. But then I really wanted to find my voice, obviously, with being a Māori performer and writer as well. And so I went down the line of writing this massive musical, Aturangi Morning Sky, which was performed by 700 kids eventually. But the show, I'd spent my entire musical career speaking in other languages, speaking in accents and music from, you know, Broadway and West End. And I wanted to make something that was quintessential Kiwi, that the music itself and the themes are exactly what we as tangata whenua can relate to. And so Aturangi was born out of that, and it was about a young girl, Aturangi, in her search of where she came from, who she is, and it was full reggae roots music, which is what I would define as Kiwi music. You know, I was brought up with the Black Seeds, Catch a Fire, Kora, Troy Kingi is one of my OG favourites. And so I wanted to create something like
that was that music that we immediately walk into a theatre and it's a...
We know we're in New Zealand,
but it's also a story about us from this land, made by the hands of this land. And so my journey with that and Kiwi and New Zealand musicals really was defined then. Since then, I've wanted to keep that kaupapa, but strengthen it with what I enjoy most, which is entertainment. And so I've gone back to how do I create something that is meaningful and awesome and Kiwi, but is also the main purpose is full-blown entertainment that is just, like, full-on fun that gives us that release and... that hide away from our real lives, which I think theatre and musical theatre and the arts and music can achieve.
Mm.
It can take us to another place. It can stop our own lives for a minute and just be in this, in Roadkill, for example, a very weird world, which is also not dissimilar to some times in our lives. Like, Uber rides can be really weird, and everyone knows what they are. You know, I don't have to go into great detail about Uber rides or weird experiences we had in Uber or in Ubers or what it would be like if the Uber driver just started to break out into song, which is exactly what my show is. But I'm trying to create, So I suppose my show is New Zealand musical theatre.
Yeah.
And it's also taking on a new way of achieving that. It's not in a big theatre. It's not based on Broadway music. It stars a very Kiwi Uber driver and nine people who get in the van that day. They are the stars of the show, and they can be themselves or they can be versions of themselves. And that's I suppose that's the angle I'm trying to get at.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool.
I don't know if I answered the question there.
No, I think you did. Yeah. It's And I think I feel like there's more musicals kind of being written. I think now as there's more graduates coming out of, you know, I mean, a lot of your NASDA grads tend to kind of gravitate towards wanting to do the Broadway type shows and that. But, you know, I think two of like the Te Awa students from the last few years that have, you know, because they do their one person type
solos,
their solos at the end of third year and stuff. And a lot of them then get, you know, you see in the fringe the year or two after they've graduated and they've turned their little thing into something a bit bigger.
I think that, you know what, I think that musical theatre and shows like that have always been written. It's just that we need to foster them more in New Zealand, and we need to actually show up to them to support them, even if it's not your cup of tea. You know, we're all, everything we see, our minds change on whether we like it or don't like it, and our perception and opinions change every single show. But I think there's lots been written. We don't have a massive development world in New Zealand. Like, you write a show, oh, you've written a show? Oh, let's put it on. There's no sort of like deep...
Let's workshop it.
There's no workshopping. Yeah, I mean, and that all comes down to funding. So I don't want to get into a chat about how lack of funding, because we all know that we're living in a world where that's getting tougher and tougher, hence why I'm doing a show for nine people at a time. But I think we just really got to foster those writers, because what ends up happening, and we've seen it with Luke DeSoma, is he now lives in Australia, and he's one of our greatest musical theatre writers in from New Zealand. He's still writing a Happiness TV show, and he's written things for the New Zealand Opera, but he's had to move away in order to have a career in this. And it's the same with all those musical theatre performers as well. I mean, they come out of a degree, a three-year degree in something that they've spent money on, and there's just not work for them. So they create their own work, and then it's not sort of fostered.
Yeah.
So I think what I'm getting at is just get behind New Zealand performers, whether it be musical theatre or dance or multimedia, and actually just show up. We know times are massively tough at the moment, and it's cold. and you know, the cost of living and all of that.
Are you going to have the heater on in your van?
Do you know what? I've never had to put the heater on. In fact, I've had to invest in air conditioning, external air, more air conditioning, because every time it's, I mean, it's a full rock concert inside of a van. This time it is in a colder season, but I think it's going to be nice and toasty still. Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, so let's unpack you guys and your arts journey. It's like, so let's start with you, Ella. Where did it begin for you? Take us right back. Was it dancing in front of the TV or?
My parents met. No. Actually, I don't know. I guess I was always dancing as a kid. Here we go. My grandmother's living room. She had this amazing curtain that divided the living room and the kitchen, and I would always get my brother to be the curtain man, and we would always put on little performances. I'd always be dancing. I started out doing, like, traditionally I did ballet, and then I went to American jazz, and then I always knew deep inside of me that there was a hip-hop girl waiting. Yeah. And then I went and did urban hip-hop classes, and I fell in love with that. And then started to learn more about street dance, and I mean, Step Up was just like inspiration. Yeah. I always loved Step Up. Did that, and then I eventually went to Hagley Dance Company. So I graduated high school, had no idea what I wanted to do in regards of studying. All I knew was I always wanted to be a performer. I think I kind of decided that when I was in year 11 at high school. I'm from Ototahi, by the way, in Christchurch, and there's not much down there at that time anyway. I think things are kind of growing, but I was like, I want to dance and I want to sing. I always thought I was going to be like a really big singer, but not so much anymore. But I know I wanted to do those two things. I wasn't as interested in acting. I enjoyed acting, but it didn't. Teachers often wanted me to do musical theatre, and I was like, I know it's not my jam. Like, it's fun, but it's just not me. So then a teacher, literally on like my last day of school, was like, have you ever heard of Hagley Dance Company? And I, last minute, like, applied. Like, I think there was like only a couple of days left to apply to audition. And I auditioned, and I got in, and I did that for a year. And yeah, that was my first kind of introductory into contemporary dance. And at first I was very skeptical because I was so into like my hip hop. And I was like, whoa, I don't understand what this is. But once I found a way to kind of fuse the two together, I really fell in love. And eventually I moved up here and went to Unitech Dance. And studied there from 2020, the doom year. And did that for 3 years. And then I've just been on the hustle since for the last 3 years to go, I want to make a show at some point. And here we are.
Very cool.
And I got to tell you, the hustle does not stop.
Oh, I know.
You will be hustling for years.
Still hustling. Yeah.
Hustle.
And what about you, Tom? Where did that voice come from?
Yeah, I always wanted to be a singer and a performer. All through school, everyone who knows me from Marlborough Boys would know I was a loudmouth, jokester. And, I always did the shows. My mum was did all the musical theatre shows, Blenheim Operatic Society, and my auntie was an actress, and my uncle was was an 80s rock singer for a band, Strike Master. And so it's in the bones, it's in the family, and I always wanted to do it. I knew very early on I sang in rock bands. You know, we started performing in pubs from maybe when I was like 14, often having teachers at our gigs, and I've done it ever since, doing the whole covers thing at pubs, and now we're sort of doing festivals and things. I left high school and went to Toi Whakaari and did a degree in acting. And all through that, I knew that musical theatre was still my jam, but I would do anything and love that about our industry, is that we can chop and change between so many different things. I gave dancing a go, I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I'm not a very good dancer, but I did make it into the cheerleading team for the Japanese sevens team. So I did cheer, mainly because I was also a big rugby player at the time, and I used to be able to throw people around really easy, so they wanted me in their cheer team. So I did that. In my last year at Toi Whakaari, I had to choose between going to play rugby for a New Zealand team or going to West End to do an internship in musical theatre. And it was at that point that I chose musical theatre, and that was the musical theatre and acting and theatre and that world, and that was the world I've been in ever since. And I've only strapped the boots on a couple of times since then. But because of that trip, I got to meet some really cool people like Brian May Robert Lopez, who wrote Frozen,
which
now I have a daughter, I respect that meeting even more because I've listened to Frozen millions of times. And, I toured around doing lots of musicals in those big New Zealand tours, like Saturday Night Fever and Grease, and I just kept doing that, doing acting, doing plays, doing shows, doing TV work. A couple of years ago, I did Shrek, which was cool, and I had a burning desire all of a sudden to write my own stuff. So I kicked off with the 80s rock opera that I mentioned earlier, and then did Atarangi, and then earlier this year, I did a kid show called All the Things I Wish I Could Be with Jed Parsons from Christchurch, who's a muso down there, and Roadkill earlier this year. So it's moulded itself into being a maker, which I never thought I was going to be. I always was happy doing other people's scripts and songs, and still am. But I really enjoy making my own stuff. And once you start making, there's no more creative time than when you're creative doing something else. So I've got about five other shows in my head at the moment too, which I'll hopefully roll out over the years to come and keep doing this.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it fills my cup for sure.
Yeah, it's so good to be able to, as you say, fill your cup, definitely.
Yeah.
Yep. Very cool. We've got an old track of yours downloaded,
okay.
Which I think is, it's I Am Enough is actually what I downloaded.
Beautiful.
So should we
You're
play
welcome to play it. Yes, I mean, when you messaged me about playing a song, I wasn't sure because I was unsure if we were going to talk about the entire world that is Tom Knowles and his work or Roadkill.
We can talk about anything you like.
Yeah, I love that. So I've enjoyed this chat. I hope I haven't waffled too much. But this particular song is from Atarangi Morning Sky, which ended up winning, I don't mean to boast, but it won
right.
Children's Album of the Year at the Entertainment Children's Awards International, maybe. It's I Am Enough.
I am enough, I am enough. Not afraid to be me, I am enough. Who knows? Just what I could be. We don't know where we're going, but we do know where to start. But we know the golden rule. They are
so cool, Tom. I was just saying that I got introduced to that 2 years ago when you did that, because you launched it at the Music Theatre New Zealand Conference in Blenheim.
Yes, I did. I did. It was a big moment. Those out there who have made music videos or made music know the hustle when it comes to making it, recording it, mastering it, making a video, and then finally actually putting it out to the world. And so, yeah, it's I'm stoked to have it out there.
Yeah.
And I know that music festivals and stuff are performing it, so it's cool.
Yeah, it's that song really makes me think. Like, quite often I see on the teacher chats and stuff that I'm still a part of from being a school teacher all those years, where people go, I'm looking for a song for my year 7 and 8s to sing at graduation. Like, I could hear that as a full school assembly graduation type song.
Oh, that was totally the idea. That was the idea. And just to also have some awesome musicians perform on it is so cool. Like, because I think sometimes my opinion is that some kids' music is rushed and can be quite, you know, made on a Casio keyboard. And so it was awesome to write something and have... You can break their song down, all of them, with, you know, the instrumentations are crazy in there. So, yeah, stoked to have it in the world.
Now, we've got a couple of kick arts questions that we ask our guests sometimes. We love quickfire, you know. So, we'll start with you, Tom.
Okay.
Creative New Zealand walks in the door with a check which is open.
Yep.
What would you do?
Well, look, I developed some of the musicals that I have in my head already, one of which that I really want to get out there next year, which is a full cookbook musical. So I will also cook dinner. It's dinner and a show. It's theatre restaurant. it used to be big when I was growing up, theatre restaurant, and I want to create and go on a full tour releasing a cookbook at the same time. So that's the feeling.
That
don't
so
steal
cool.
my idea out there, by the way, everybody.
Can I ask what style of food you would be cooking?
So my family in Blenheim are notorious for not being very good cooks, and so it would be family recipes,
family friendly food.
Yes, but the songs are all actually quite high drama, because they're all related to a moment of my life. For instance, my brother going away and living overseas and then bringing back virgin olive oil. And we'd never really had virgin olive oil before then. And then he used to make us spinach salads, and we weren't a salad family. And so it's a soggy spinach leaf song. There's moments of my life. Also sort of likening myself to food. I think I'm a kind of macaroni and cheese if I was a food. I'm very quick and easy, but I could a bit of I'm sustenance, and I can last a long time in a fruit.
I love it. I can
anyway,
already,
it's crazy.
That's bubbling.
Someone out there is probably at the piano right now stealing this idea.
Maybe.
But CNZ, I've already applied for that show last year. Please give me some
Throw
money.
Throw the money this way.
Yeah.
Cool. But, now, Ella, I've got a different question for you. If you were to give your 16-year-old self some advice.
Oh, God.
What would it be? We've got a very thoughtful face.
Advice.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I think I did pretty good at 16. I was very resilient.
Well, maybe that's the advice, to trust in your resilience.
Mm.
Oh, I don't know, because I'm one of those people where I really don't. I try to live with like no regretting kind of thing, or like I allow things to just be, and you know. So I never really think like that. I always think, nah, you did all right.
Well, that's good that you did all right, though. I mean, that actually stands in really good stead in itself.
Yeah, 16. I had a very rough teenhood, could you call it? But yeah, no, I think I was just always a big believer, and I think if anything, it's more I don't know. Yeah, I guess just I think I would more just say like you're on the right path, really.
Yeah, great.
You know, because back then I knew I wanted to be something, and it feels a little dramatic.
And you're doing
like I'm going to do something big, but like this is massive to 16-year-old Ella for sure. I don't think I ever had it in my cards that I would do what I'm doing right now. So I'd give myself a hug.
Very cool. I like that. All right, we're at the business end of the interview, guys, because we're coming kind of towards the end. The business end. Yes. So you need to sell your shows to our listeners. So where can we find tickets? Where do we follow you? All that businessy stuff.
Okay, listen up, listeners. My show is on...
I think you should do it as an Uber driver.
Well, funnily enough, it's a very real show. So I am an Uber driver, and it is just me. So I am in character right now. But look, my show is on from the 3rd, which is next Wednesday. It's on for the week, 2 shows a night, 6 and 8 p.m. And then I'm doing a return season later in September. So that's going to really trip some people up out there. The tickets are from the Basement Theatre website, which I assume is www.basement.co.nz.
But they're also, because Basement tickets are all done through iTickets, so if you jump onto iTicket, it's there.
Yes.
And if you jump onto KickArts, it's
on
also KickArts. On our event page.
I will say that because of this low numbers of tickets per show, there's only 9 people who can come per show. It's your own personal experience, the hottest ticket in town, but there are quite a lot of shows already selling or sold out. So if you are interested, book a ticket early. I know that's not in the New Zealand way of working, but please book a ticket early for your own sake. There are a few chances that you can book the entire van. So if you have yourself and 8 friends, you can have literally your private show.
I love it. I love it. Okay, so jump onto the Basement for that. Ella, what about you?
Ingaroana koe?
No. Well, I hope people don't get lost because they need to see your show.
No, don't get lost, but get lost in the show.
There we go.
There we go. Ingaroana koe, it opens this coming Tuesday, the 26th of August to the 30th of August. You can get your tickets on the Basement link, but you can also find it in the link in my bio on my personal page, @ella_ on Instagram, or our page for the show, for the work, is called Moko, M-O-K-O, _archives, A-R-C-H-I-V-E-S. And the link is in the bio there, and you can get more info about the show. You can see all the lovely marketing and design. I will also flag that if you know anyone in the deaf community, if you have any friends who are tangata turi, Māori deaf, deaf people, we are having New Zealand Sign Language interpreting on our closing night, Saturday the 30th of August. We really are passionate about making this show more accessible, as I am a coda myself. Both my parents are fully deaf, and I really wanted to honour them in that. So let the people know, because it's hard to promote that, even though I know this is on a radio station. But if you know anyone, let
stunning.
Them know.
Well, good luck to both of you for your seasons. Break legs and do all that. And thank you so much for coming out on a Sunday night when you've got shows coming up. We're all out of time. Remember, let us know what you've got coming up. info@kickarts.org.nz. Let us know so we can put it onto our events pages. Both of the shows we've just been talking about are there. Now we're going out tonight with Tom Scott's latest track called Topic. So make sure you go out there and kick some arts.
I sure dare you play someone new. They ain't got shit to do with me anymore. Days we knew way too long ago now. Just trying to move on since you moved out. Got a new girl, got a new style, got a new couch for the last. Moved a couple things round, took a picture down, I'm feeling good. But don't worry about me. I'll land on my feet like I always do. Leave it under gravity. Ain't gotta be big no more. So we ain't even gotta speak. Promise you I won't call no more, no more, no more. Talking about a
costly. I'll let you be. When I kinda get the kids, I'll just be. You tell your mother that I love her, and I hope your brother finds peace. Till then, till then. Till then, till then. Today, we just try to pretend to be friends. Brush your teeth and don't forget to go to sleep. We'll be going live, same time under the stars, saying blah, 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 blah. Let's go kick some art.